Would you stand as you're able for the reading of the gospel? A reading from the 21st chapter of Matthew. Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the harvest time had come, he sent his slaves to the tenants to collect his produce. But the tenants seized his slaves and beat one and killed another and stoned another. Again, he sent other slaves more than the first, and they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But when the tenants saw the son, they said to them, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and get his inheritance." So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read the scriptures? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom. The one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and it will crush anyone on whom it falls." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they realized that he was speaking about them. They wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds because they regarded him as a prophet. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise be to thee, O Christ. You may be seated. Well, if you've been around for any of my previous sermons here in Cox Chapel, you've undoubtedly picked up on the fact that I'm a bit of a news junkie. I know many of us are the same way. We wake up with the headlines on our screens, listening to news radio of some sort throughout the day, discussing current events with friends and coworkers. And rarely, I think, does this constant influx of news and information keep us hopeful and peaceful throughout our days. This week in particular has been an exhausting one. We've had shootings in Las Vegas that as Christians we simply can't not care about. We have one more hurricane threatening people's homes. And if you're a Tom Petty fan, you've been grieving the loss of that great icon. But today, we have a beautiful opportunity to take a break from our obsession with the evil things going on around us. We have the chance to come together and to look at the good that the church is doing in the world around us. We have the chance to celebrate together what we are accomplishing for the kingdom of God here at HPUMC. Did you catch that phrase in our gospel lesson this morning, the kingdom of God? This lesson is pretty horrific news that Jesus gives to the religious authorities of his day in the form of a parable. This landowner plants a vineyard and leases it to tenant farmers. And when the season arrives, he sends his servants to go collect what's rightfully his cut of the harvest. But the tenants beat and kill his servants, refusing to pay him his due. And then he sends his own son as his representative, and they treat him the same way, killing his own son. And Jesus asks this hypothetical question of what the landowner would do, and the religious authorities give him an understandable response. "He'll put those wretches to a miserable death," they say, "and find reliable tenants to replace them." Jesus seems to at least in part agree with them and explains a bit further in a way that maybe they don't like as much. The kingdom of God will be taken away from the religious authorities of Jerusalem and will be given to people who produce the fruit of the kingdom. And as religious folks today, I think we find ourselves turning the beam of this parable on ourselves. Are we people who produce the fruit of the kingdom? Now, if you've already gotten your giving card in the mail, you may already know a little bit of the answer, but if you haven't gotten it and read through it yet, spoiler alert for you, there are a lot of ways in which HPUMC is producing the fruits of the kingdom. Many of you probably know the ministries and the good work that our church does better than I do. I've been here less than a year. However, because of my being new, I have the fortune of being able to remember the first time that I was impressed by one of HPUMC's ministries. Hannah and I were here on campus to hear one of Victoria's sermons when you were worshiping in the upper room. And that same week, our hearts had been aching with our sister-in-law. She and her infant daughter had recently been forced to leave her husband because he had become abusive in their relationship, a problem that too many people in our society face. And in moments like those, when the world seems to be falling apart for people you care for, it's hard to know what good church will really do in those moments. But we came. We expected to hear something from God, no doubt. But I think I was in the foyer outside of Wesley Hall when I saw a sign for our restoration ministries here at HPUMC. The sign described the resources that are offered to individuals and families who experience abuse. So, just interested in this, I took one of the cards. I gave it to my wife, and she shared it with our sister-in-law, who lives near Houston. And within a couple of weeks, she ended up talking on the phone with one of our clergy here at HPUMC, finding out some good, helpful information for her about what her next steps could be. And if nothing else, she ended that conversation encouraged, having spoken to a clergy person who affirmed that she had made the right decision. This is just one single, simple example of ways HPUMC is changing the world for people who are suffering and in need of support. And this example shows us that sometimes HPUMC is reaching out beyond even our metroplex, beyond the boundaries of this campus, and touching lives. And as you know, that story is one of many that comes from our numerous ministries. Like we did for my sister-in-law, HPUMC reaches far beyond our campus and touches lives in our community and around the world. If you're not aware of City Square is one of our close partners here in Dallas that fights the causes and effects of poverty in our city. And through them, HPUMC does fantastic work. We have 292 people that go on mission trips each year that work with different partners we have to share the good news of Jesus and help transform the lives of many people. And you all know and experience intimately the ways in which we bring about spiritual growth and discipleship within our congregation, whether you're involved in Emmaus or you are one of those people who have yourselves been transformed by a mission trip. There are also hundreds who have special needs and find a home here where they may be forgotten elsewhere in our society. And thousands of us gather here every week to connect with other people through group life and through worship. Perhaps the most exciting thing to me is that we have hundreds of children each year who are baptized and confirmed within the walls of these church. I like the way our senior minister, Paul, sums it up. He wrote last year, that God leverages blessing and momentum through HPUMC to change lives and change the world in a big way. I think that's well said, because this gospel work is really not our work at all, but God leverages the blessing and skills that you and I have as a church to bring about the kingdom of God right here on earth. And so I think days like today, in which we take note of the good in the world and the ways that faith communities, we are just one right here in Dallas, are doing the work of the gospel, and that we take note so that we can also invest ourselves in that same work. This spiritual investment is something we often approach the same way that we do our financial investments. We want to make sure that we have low risk balanced with the highest reward possible. If we're really going to put all of our commitment and energy into the work of the church, we want to make sure that we're doing so in a way that we're going to have a good reward for our risk. You may not have noticed it in the first reading of our New Testament lesson from Philippians this morning, but the Apostle Paul was also talking about risk and reward when he wrote to the Philippians. Paul was born with all of the social and cultural assets and privileges of his context. He was a good Jew from a good Jewish family from the tribe of King David. He had a solid educational background, and he held elite status in politics and society as a Roman citizen. However, it seems that Paul may have made some spiritual ventures with entirely too much risk, because he writes that he has suffered the loss of all things. Investing in Jesus and the kingdom of God seems like it may have been a foolish move for the Apostle Paul. But Paul uses some strong language in saying that he actually considers all of those assets and privileges that he previously had to be rubbish, garbage, because of the infinite reward of knowing Jesus Christ and participating in the kingdom of God. So, in the same way, when we participate in the ministries and mission of the church through this particular church, Highland Park United Methodist, we do so with the confidence that our invested time, energy, and dollars are going to produce a return that is infinitely more valuable than what we individually put in. Lives saved and transformed. And we have the confidence that our church and the United Methodist Church as a whole is acting as faithful tenants, cultivating the kingdom of God here among us. And so I hope that this morning, in the midst of all of the news going on around us, that we can hear this good news, and that we can all join with the Apostle Paul to forget what lies behind, the bleak image of the world that we often see, and that we can strain together toward what lies ahead, the good work of the kingdom of God and its immeasurable rewards. Amen.